But I think when we read God's word, we need to relax. We need to dive in deep. We need to realize who we are. We're his children. If we follow him and we love him, we are his children. Today we're going to talk about children of God. And children of God, what believe in the power of prayer. I don't know if you've got to witness God's answering prayer at certain times and how exciting it is. But also, there's times that we don't get to witness his answering of our prayer, because sometimes it's not what we're looking for, but it's what God's looking for. And it's a wonderful thing when we recognize that, oh, God is doing what I knew I should have done, but I didn't do, and that he's leading me to do what he wants me to do. How cool is that? So let me read to you in Matthew. You got a little handout there, a little, if you want to fill some of it in, or just scriptures in there for you. But let me read to you Matthew, the 6th chapter, 5th verse. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I'd ask you to bless this morning. Give us all strength, Father, in your word. But give us physical strength, Father, to live in this world. Satan is always attacking us. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. Hate talking about him, but the truth is, he's real. And we need to open our eyes to this fact. Bless us this morning. Bless your word. And we ask these things in your Son and your Spirit's holy name. Amen. Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting in the 5th verse. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners and be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when we pray, go into your home, your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many, many words. This is not a lengthy prayer. This is just saying the same thing over and over and over and over. If you've never heard that, it's very annoying. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. This, then, is how you should pray. And so Jesus gives a little outline. And this outline's still good. It's still good. I use it all the time. You probably don't realize it, but I do. Your Father, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Wow. That is the end of what Jesus says. We've had desires of the glory and the power, and amen. We've added that to it, sure, because it's part of some scripture. But he adds to it, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. How do you like that one? No wonder they drop it off so much. They don't put it on there. They don't add it. God wants us to forgive. Now, disciples of Jesus believe in the power of prayer and use prayer for empowering in their discipleship and their ministry. And so should we. Let me tell you a story. One night, a little boy was kneeling next to his bed with his mother and grandmother beside him as he softly said his prayers. Dear God, please bless Mama and Daddy and all the family, and please give me a good night's sleep. And then suddenly, the little boy raised his voice and shouted, and don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday. And the boy's mother quietly corrected him. There's no need to shout like that, son. God's not deaf. I know, whispered the little boy, but Grandma is. Today I want to talk about the importance that prayer holds in the life of disciples of Christ. That's us. What it holds in the importance of our life. Disciples of Jesus believe in the power of prayer. We do believe. I believe in the power of prayer. Because I believe in the power of prayer, praying over yourself, praying over others, asking God, petitioning him, asking for requests, thanking him, telling him how awesome he is, and to know my heart when I say that. I'm not just saying it shallow. It's the truth, Lord. You know it. because disciples believe that God hears and answers our prayers. And like the little boy in the opening story, disciples of Jesus know that God isn't deaf. And we know that we don't have to shout out our prayers in order for God to hear us. And in this message, I want us to remind us of what discipleship should believe about prayer. And that when we should do with what we should do with prayer because we believe in prayer power. Don't just stick it on the shelf. Before we focus on these three things, or these things about prayer, there's going to be a couple of things of three. Let's do a review of what we've been talking about for the last few months, since before Christmas. We've covered the call of being called by Christ, the cost of it, the command of discipleship. We've moved into understanding forgiveness and love those who don't love us, relationships with those who love us and those who don't, and the deepest relationship of all, that with Christ. Today, I'm adding that name, that word, that praise, prayer, in the life of the disciple. Prayer in the life of the disciple should include all kinds of prayer. And some of these are concentrated prayer, continuous prayer, and quick prayer. I remember I was in high school, we called that breath prayer. Thank you, Lord. Just that. Sometimes when we get in trouble and something happens, a catastrophe, we have that breath prayer. Oh, Lord. Now, some people don't realize they're saying, oh, Jesus, help me. They don't know that. Sometimes it's sad because they don't know him. But for those who do, he hears. I will describe what I mean by these three things later on in our message. But let me say that prayer is a huge subject that requires extensive study. Lots of practice. Doesn't mean you can't do it right now. It just means it's just not so shallow, not so simple. So one sermon can't really cover every aspect of prayer, and I'm not going to attempt that today. Prayer is simple, it's basic, and yet it's filled with complexities. It's filled with many nuances, many ways, many wonders of it. Prayer is sometimes put into words that are verbal, but other times prayer is just something in our hearts, something in our minds. We just think about it. It's just there. And it's sometimes beyond words or thoughts, emotion. We're in tune with God. We see something, and that prayer reaches out from our heart, from our soul. Sometimes prayer requires a lot of time, a lot of attention, persistence, and patience, but sometimes it's brief and it's immediate. God knows that we need before, he knows what we need before we ask, yet God wants us to ask and wait for us to ask so that he can answer, so that we can see it, so that he can see that we are waiting for his answer. God has a will and wants us to be, and he wants that to be done, and yet work his will through our asking. God promises to give us what we ask for. I remember a preacher always saying he kept asking for a truck, new truck. Well, finally, somebody got a new truck, but it wasn't him, and it was his wife. Somebody had bought it for her. He didn't. And I tell you, I thought it was kind of funny, the irony of it. He had asked for the new truck. Of course, he was making a joke out of it. Sometimes we make a joke out of something that we really are not joking about, don't we? Shame on us. Now, I won't pretend to know and understand all that there is to know and understand about prayer. I'm learning every day. I'm practicing every day. But that won't stop me from believing in prayer and the power of prayer and obeying God's commands to pray. So what should every disciple know and believe about prayer? Well, number one, first of all, we should know and believe that God hears and answers our prayer. That's number one. That's God hears you and he answers your prayer. In Psalms 17:6, it says, I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. This verse begins with just a general truth that God hears. God hears. In Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So the verse adds the truth that God is near, listening to those who have faith in him. Proverbs 15:29. Says the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. This verse adds the requirement of the integrity, the righteous, the idea of being righteous. You're only righteous because God makes you righteous, and so you must be a child of God. 1 John 5:14 says, This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have that what we ask of him. This is the confidence we have before him. This should be your confidence. This verse adds the understanding that our confidence about God's hearing us and answering us comes from our relationship with him, our knowledge of God's will, what God wants in our lives. You know, when you have a relationship with someone, you realize what they really want or expect out of you, don't they? Don't you? So, for starters, disciples should know that God hears and answers our prayers. And second, we should know and believe that God hears and answers our prayers because we are his children, his faithful followers. I hear so often, we're all God's children. No, that's not true. That's a lie. That's a misnomer. Only those who follow him are his children. Now look at what Jesus says in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks and the ones who seek finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Who among you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him, what, a serpent, a snake? If you then, who are evil, compared to God, okay? If you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The comparison. He's going to give you good things. Here we note that Jesus implies that God is a good father who hears and answers his children's request with what is good and what is right. Sometimes we don't ask for that, do we? We don't ask for what's good and what's right. We ask for what's selfish, for what we want, for what we think we need. We are promised those things if we ask, we receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, the door is open. And because we are children of a good Father. So let's add a verse to the letter of James. James, the 5th chapter, is the last part of the verse, 16b. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful and it is effective. Availeth much, in another scripture says. James emphasizes that the prayer of the person who is right in relationship with God is effective and prayerful. You need to have a right relationship with God for your prayers to really be answered and answered in the way that you need. Now look at the promise Jesus has in John 15:7. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. I want that to soak in. Note the condition that makes prayer powerful and effective. That we remain in Jesus and that his word remains in us. Get with it today. Start remaining in Jesus. Throw all that other stuff away that you don't need. In other words, if we walk in faithfulness as disciples of Jesus and children of God, then we know that God hears and answers our prayers. Now let me offer one final thing that we should know and believe about prayer. And that is, God can do more than we can ask or imagine. Now, for some of us, we're saying, oh, man, I wish he'd start doing that right now. I sure wish he'd start answering things in an unbelievable way. Some of us are hurting. Some of us are confused. Some of us are having physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems. Some of us have got cold hands right now. That's all we can think about. That's not what God wants. He wants us to think about him and our relationship with him. That's what Paul writes, that imagination, that's what Paul writes about in this letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. That's what disciples of Jesus should believe, that God is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or even think about. God can do more than we can even imagine or even dare to ask. Too often we don't ask what we really should, because we're afraid God won't answer. And all this unbelievable and unimaginable stuff that God does, he does through his power that has worked, that it is at in work in us. Because disciples of Jesus know and believe three things about prayer. That we should always pray and not give up. In Luke 18:1, we should devote ourselves to prayer. Colossians 4:2 says we should devote ourselves in prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5, and we should pray consistently, or pray constantly, or unceasingly. Now, because disciples of Jesus believe that God hears and powerful and wisely answers our prayers, then we should always pray, be devoted to pray, to be in prayer constantly, devoted in prayer. On a particular level, how do disciples of Jesus pray consistently? How do you pray? I know we've thought about that, and some people say, all the time. Well, but we do so by making prayer a regular and natural part of our lives. So consistently every day. We have a consistent habits in our lives as soon as we get up, don't we? We either stretch or we do this, or we go get a big drink of water, or we go use the bathroom or whatever. We do something, and it's consistent every day, isn't it? That's a regular happening. That's what prayer should be, a consistent, unceasing, every day, all the time. Corrie Ten Boom, who remembers her? Yeah, I've read a few of her books, unbelievable. She was a famous Holocaust concentration camp survivor, her and her sister, both. And she asked this question, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? I like that question. Is prayer your steering wheel? Or how often do we use our spare tire? I hope never, but rarely, maybe ever, never. Never, only in the case of what? Emergency. How often do you use your steering wheel? As soon as you get in the car. In fact, even when you're not even driving the car, you're still using that steering wheel for something. We need to use prayer continually while living. Now, let's look back to those three kinds of prayers I mentioned at the beginning. Concentrated prayer, continuous prayer, and quick prayer. I want to help us understand how to employ the power of prayer in these three ways. So let's start with the idea of concentrated prayer. A time of prayer during our devotions, having devotion. It was, okay, let me tell you a story. Back in 1882 on the campus of Cambridge University, the world was first given the slogan, remember the morning watch. I think you may have heard that, but what was it? Remember the morning watch. Students at Cambridge found their days loaded with studies, of course, games, lectures. Enthusiasm and activity were the order of the day. But some of the Christian students soon discovered a weakness in their spiritual armor. We as disciples do that too. We find a small crack which could bring disaster. They sought an answer and came up with a scheme that was called morning watch. The plan was to spend the first minutes of a new day along with God praying and reading the Bible. The morning watch sealed the cracks that were happening. To know God is necessary to spend constant time, consistent time in him. So the idea of the morning watch caught fire, and a remarkable period of religious blessing followed on that campus, which culminated in the departure of the Cambridge Seven, a band of prominent, wealthy men, athletic men, very educated men. They went into the missionary service, 1880, into China. The seven men were gone to China for Christ, and before they left for China in 1885, the seven held a farewell tour across England, telling anybody, getting people to help, but they didn't really need to. They wanted people to know. They were called the Cambridge Seven. They all served long and well for the cause of Christ in China. And it was because of prayer. That morning watch, that few minutes a day. What could change in your life for that few minutes a day? 5 minutes a day, one verse and a prayer. Every disciple of Jesus who wants to grow in their relationship with God and they want to be spiritually stronger will set aside a regular time each day, every day, to meet with the Lord and his word and in prayer. Amen? Consider the example of Jesus. Jesus spent time with his Heavenly Father regularly throughout his busy ministry. Many times it was the first thing in the morning. In Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. Constantly, our daily devotion time doesn't have to be in the morning. It doesn't have to be. But I can't think of a better time to do it. Not to get it out of the way, but to start the day good. Start it right. Start it with God on your mind. Here's a poem about such a thing. It's called The Secret by Ralph Cushman. He said, I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And his presence became like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long, the present lingered. All day long, he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of another morning with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want to see him through the day. Seek God in the morning. Concentrated prayer is a devoted time of prayer when we commune with God and listen and speak. Amen. In this time of prayer, we will want to include all the aspects of well-rounded prayer that include praise and thanksgiving, confession, requests. There's an acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S, of prayer. It's helpful, kind of a helpful guideline. I've used it. A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. S, supplication or request. That's the Lord's Prayer, right there in a nutshell. In addition to times of concentrated prayer, I want to encourage us to learn to walk with God in the spirit of prayer throughout the day. We call that continuous prayer, our unceasing prayer. Just because we can't be in concentrated prayer all the time doesn't mean we can't have an ongoing conversation with God in our mind, in our hearts, and I believe many of us do, don't we? We're talking to him all day long. When we see our experience sometimes good or maybe beautiful, we can thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. When we see someone or something that needs prayer, we can bring it before God and ask him to intervene. Ambulance rushing by, a mama with a disobedient child in the store. She probably needs prayer. As requests come to our minds, we can talk to God about that time. I think of Tevye and Pillar on the Roof. He's talking to God all day long. Talking to him, complaining to him, loving him, telling him why this, why, asking him questions, but in constant communication. And the last of these prayers is what we call quick prayer, breath prayer, emergency prayer, for immediate help when needed. For instance, like, got an angry boss, barges in the room to confront you about something, you don't have time to drop to your knees in prayer. But you need prayer, so in your heart you quickly ask God, please help me through this. Nehemiah did this. He had been fasting and praying for some time about the situation in Jerusalem. But then the king asked him what he was bothering him, and Nehemiah shot off a quick emergency prayer, and then he answered the king. Now these three kinds of prayers, concentration, continuous, and quick, help us to build a strong relationship with God. And they prove the discipleship empowering that we need for life and for ministry. Constant prayer. Continuous prayer. There are three ways to use prayer in life and in ministry. So let me do these three here before we close. Life can be hard. First, life can be hard, filled with challenges and anxiety. But our relationship with God and the discipline of prayer helps us cope. Amen? Amen. Paul taught us in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Not without him can you make it. Can you survive? Can you get rid of the anxiety? Oh, that will not do it. That anxiety will still be there. You need your heart guarded. I hope that every disciple will learn to use prayer to overcome our tendencies to worry. And second, there's a spiritual battle going on around us. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. And the only way to fight it and win the battle is to put on the armor of God and to employ the power of prayer. Paul instructs us in Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take stand against the devil's schemes. In verse 18 of that same chapter, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I covet your prayers. I know it's the only thing that keeps me going. It keeps on going. It's your prayers for us, and thank you. I hope that every disciple will learn to use prayer to overcome the spiritual battles we face. I'm telling you, are you facing spirit? Are you facing spirit? Yes, we are. Every day. But you're such a godly person and you love the Lord so much. That's why. Satan wants to hurt his children, God's children. And third, in the life of every disciple, there are daily opportunities to serve others and to share the good news. And prayer helps us to minister God's grace and to share the gospel with others. Paul asks for prayer and about his ministry in Ephesians 6, 19, 20. Pray also for me that the mission or the message may be given to you when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For this is, am I an ambassador in chains? I've always loved that phrase, to be an ambassador in chains. Well, because he was in jail, unrightly, same as Christ. But he was an ambassador still for God. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. And there's the truth of it. I pray that you'll be bold enough to speak about Christ as you should. As great a follower of Christ as Paul was, he knew that he still needed prayer for God's provision for boldness and the right words to share God's truth. The right words. So do we. So do I. Oh, Pastor, you know all the right words. No. Every situation, every scenario is different. Every person, every question is different. There's no fit blanket answer. Remember when in Sunday school, you'd ask a question, Jesus, that'd be the first thing they'd say, There is no blanket. Love is probably the closest thing to having that blanket answer. Do it in love, whatever you say. As a great follower of Christ, as Paul was, he knew he still needed prayer. If he needed God's help to minister, then surely I need God's help. And so do you. I hope that prayer, that all of us will believe in the power of prayer, will therefore devote ourselves to prayer, concentrated prayer, continuous prayer, quick prayer. I hope you'll be ready to pray about everything and with everyone when there is a need. When you're with people and they ask you if there's anything that you can pray about, when you're with people, is there anything I can pray about? I've seen this happen. I've done it. I've been with people who have. It's a wonderful feeling, especially for that person who needed prayer. I've been in the hospital rooms and been in the waiting rooms many times, and I'll tell you, nobody has said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Everybody coveted those prayers. As disciples of Christ and ministers of his grace, prayer needs to be the tool and weapon we reach for to unleash the power of God. And let's remember, the power doesn't come because of us. Rather, the power is in God and from God. But when we pray, we need to pray with faith and anticipation that God will do something because he hears and he answers our prayer. Let me read a story. I've said this story before, but I think it's kind of cool. Once there was a nightclub owner who decided to build a raunchy nightclub next door to this church, and the church was called St. Lukewarm Church. The good folks at the church started a prayer vigil against the nightclub business. Amazingly, the nightclub's business dwindled off so much that they had to close the doors. There wasn't altogether good news because the owner of the nightclub brought a lawsuit against the church accusing them of ruining the business with their prayers. The attorneys of the church argued that there was no way that their prayers could have had an effect on the poor performance of the nightclub. The judge agreed and ruled in favor of St. Lukewarm, saying, while the nightclub owner strongly believed in the power of prayer, the church members don't seem to, not so much. Wow. Let's not ever let that be us. Let's believe in our God and pray, believing that God will work. And when God answers our prayers, let's give the credit and glory to God. Amen? And just as faith is critical for effective prayer, faith is also critical for a salvation. We can't be saved without faith. Amen? But when we believe, we will repent and we'll be baptized into Christ because we believe, because we have faith in Him. And then by faith, we'll live what? A faithful, prayerful, loving, forgiving life in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Bless this time. Bless Your word, Father. As we pray, and we pray more this week, as we pray today, Father, give us the strength to follow through and be consistent, Father, continuous, never ceasing in our prayer life for You. We ask You to bless us today, Father, and bless Your word. And these things we ask in Your holy name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.